Welcome to Richardson's Cove Baptist Church. We're glad to have you. Tune in with us and Dr. David Ayers from our Sunday morning worship service as we study God's Word together.
We sure appreciate you sharing with us today. It's good to be with you all. Good to be here together with you on Sunday morning. I know Scotty had mentioned the crew that comes in and works, and I do appreciate all the hard work that goes into pulling this off on Sunday mornings. We've got the crew that comes in, prepares early to get the songs ready and get special music ready. Shout out to my boys, my actual sons, Aaron and John David back here. I know I give them a hard time, but they come in and work frantically to make sure the video is going to be up and it's going to be broadcast. So it takes a crew of folks to pull this off, and we sure appreciate it and thank the Lord for that. And I'm excited too, as Scotty said about we're going to be back together again. We are. We're going to be back together. We're going to be able to have church again here physically. We're going to be able to hug on each other. We're going to be able to love on each other, and I'm excited about that day. Scotty talked about courage, and I kind of grinned as he shared about it because I thought when he said one word, I thought, don't say my word. Don't say the word that I'm going to say, you know, because... But when he said courage, it goes exactly in line with what I want to talk about today, because it takes courage for us to face changes that are going to come in life. So I want to talk about changes. The one single constant in the world is that everything changes. So that's true. We're filled with changes. So I'm going to be in Ecclesiastes. You know, there were songs written about the changes. So I'm going to be in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. I'm going to read the first 11 verses about changes. Verse number 1, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. I think that's perhaps the time we're in right now. I didn't realize that was in there. Amen. That's good. A time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate, a time to war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to you to thank you, God, even in the midst of the changes, that we can trust in you. We do desire, God, for you to give us courage that we can face the changes that we're in right now, the changes that have come in the future. God, thank you so much for loving us and caring for us during this critical time in our world. Thank you for preparing our hearts and preparing our minds, God, so that we can endure through these things, trusting in you. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive me of my faults and many failures, God, that I can be used for your glory. Bless your people. Bless your church, your churches, God, that are out here. Bless the pastors that are standing in preaching this morning. Bless the congregations watching from wherever they're watching from, God, on the couch or wherever. We pray, God, that you bless them. We pray that your Holy Spirit just saturates the world today with the reality that, yes, changes are happening, but, God, you're here. You've never left. You're with us even to the very end of the world. We love you, Jesus, and thank you for this time to have together. In your holy name we pray. Amen. What is a definition of change? Well, it's exactly what you would think it would be. Change is to make or to become different. Basically all it is. So To change means that we go from one thing to the next. So I want to look at some thoughts about change. The first is that change is inevitable. We already know that. Change is inevitable. We know that change is going to happen in our lives. And it's not just something that happens. It's something that God's already planned on. I want to share a verse of scripture out of Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 14. It says, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and for years. So God had already planned that there's going to be changes in the world. He said, I'm even going to set it up to where you're not going to have the same temperature every day. I'm going to make it so you're going to have a season of where it's colder, a season where it's warmer, where it's extremely hot. I'm going to have it to where the trees are going to give good shade. Then the trees are going to be leafless. I'm going to have it to where there's going to be snowfall to the ground, but it's not going to happen year round. God made it so that we would already be attuned to the fact that there's going to be changes in life. So when we think about changes, we think about the inevitability of changes. What's something that comes to mind? I think one thing that comes to mind, which I like about the seasons, is the speed of the changes. I think first we need to understand there are going to be gradual changes. I kind of like gradual changes, don't you? Because gradual changes give us the ability to adapt to our surroundings. And I just thought about my life. You know, here I am 55 years old, going to be 56 this year. And I've thought about the gradual changes that have happened to me just over those last 55 years, just being a kid and going through those experiences that you go through as a child and just growing up and experiencing that physical growth, you know, and that mental growth. Hopefully there was some mental growth in there. I can't attest to that. I don't know. But we grow, and, you know, our mind changes, our body changes, you know, and we grow up and we become an adult. So we kind of go from that growing, that gradual change physically to where we grow up. Now I'm on the side where I'm starting to just grow old. So we grow up, then we grow old. And those things are gradual. And I thought about, of course, my wife's not in the congregation with us today, so I can talk about her freely. I do that whenever she's not around. She's watching, I'm sure, and so she's probably texting my phone right now. But as I met my beautiful, wonderful wife, we were, you know, we were waving buddies for a while. We would wave as we would cruise town. You know, that was the cool thing to do back when I was teenager. Do you do that? I don't even know if you do that anymore. We cruise and we wave. And so we were waving buddies, and we eventually went out, you know, on a date. I went big time. I took her to Crystal. Amen. Date one, took her to Crystal. I mean, big spender. We met each other. We started dating. Next thing you know, we fell in love, and, you know, we planned on getting married, and then the marriage came, and I just thought about how gradual all those steps were, and how that one step made it a little more comfortable for the next step, a little more easy for us to adapt to the next step. I didn't just meet her and wave it the first time and stop her on the road and say, hey, you're amazing, you're beautiful, I love you, let's get married right now. It just didn't happen that way. It was a gradual change, and so it allowed us to adapt to each other and get to know each other. So after we got married then, a few years, we talked about having children. We had this desire and plan. We wanted to have kids. So then we had Aaron. Then a few years later, we had John David. And so as we watched them start that process of gradual growing up, now they have gotten older, and Aaron has gotten married. John David's getting married in a few weeks. And so now I have a grandbaby. So we see this gradual change in life. And I think sometimes it's real important that God gives us gradual change. Here's why. I'm not anything beautiful to look at right now. Not that I was even at 20, but I definitely look better at 20, I feel like, than I do now. If Tammy were to wake up in the morning and look over and have seen this when she was 21 years old, she needed gradual change to be able to get used to this. We need gradual change in certain situations for us to be able to get used to things. So how does that apply to the Word of God? Well, it applies that God prepares us, and He gradually prepares us for things that are coming. Moses spent different segments of 40-year increments. Why did he do that? To prepare him for what was coming next. God allowed him to be in Egypt for 40 years to sit under those teachers, to sit in that royal family, to be a part of what was going on there. Why? Because it was important for him to learn all the details and intricacies, maybe. Did I get it right? So that he could be able to adapt to what life in Egypt is all about. So that when he left for 40 years and started tending the sheep and understanding what real life is all about and getting to know God, and he met God and he answered the call. So when he came back to Egypt, he had not only that relationship with God, but that history and that background and that culture that he had to prepare him to come in and talk to Pharaoh. He was able to come in with boldness and stand before Pharaoh and say, God said, let my people go. So I think gradual change is a beautiful thing because it prepares us for those things that are coming ahead. Now, there's another side of changes, and it's instant changes. There are some things that happen instantly. I remember as a young man, hadn't been driving too many years, maybe 4 or 5 years. I can't remember exactly the age, but it was raining. It was dark. There was the road we lived on, it was kind of a downhill. When you come out of our driveway, it was downhill to go to the highway. And there was a hole that had formed in the side of the road there, and a stick, someone had stuck a stick up in the middle of it just so nobody would run into that hole. And I'd forgotten about that. It was dark and it was rainy and the road was slick. And I was driving in the car and saw that stick, and it was right before my face, and I got nervous and spun the wheel and started going around, and the car ended up on its top in the ditch beside the road. Instantly, my life changed because I was in a car that was upside down in a ditch. So there are going to be those things that are going to happen in our life. They're going to be instant for us. It's not always a bad thing. It can be a good thing. But there are going to be those instant changes in our life. Understand, not every change that happens in your life is going to be gradual. They're going to be those instant things. When Gabriel spoke to Mary, I mean, he said, Mary, you're going to have a baby, and the baby's going to be Jesus. It's going to be the Son of God, and he's going to be from the Most High. This thing that has happened to you has been inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. I mean, imagine such news. Imagine the shock when Gabriel came and spoke to Mary and told her, you're pregnant and going to have a baby, and it's going to be the Son of God himself. Wow, talk about instant change. How in the world do you prepare for that? Well, I believe that God knew the heart of Mary and knew that she was going to be able to handle the instant change. Do you ever feel like if something happens in your life, it happens instantly like that, perhaps a death or just a dramatic change in life, you get a phone call that you didn't want to get. That when those things happen, we feel like, well, I'm not equipped to handle this. I'm not able to handle it. This is overwhelming me, and it's consuming me, and there's no way I'm going to be able to endure through this. You ever feel that way? I think we all do. But I believe that with every gradual change that happens and with every instant change that happens, God knows our heart, and he knows that maybe the strength is not ours to endure it, but God is able to give us the strength and the courage to endure through the changes that are going to happen in life. So let's look now at some different kinds of changes. One is changes can be very good. I like good changes, don't you? I love good changes because they can be beneficial. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, y'all know this one. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So there are going to be changes that are going to happen in our life that can be very good changes. I believe there's two ways that these changes are going to come in our life. And the first way, I believe, is going to be due to the choices that we make. There are going to be some things you're going to decide in your life that are going to cause you to have a good, positive, beneficial change in your life. There are going to be decisions you make. One of my greatest was to start waving at my wife on the road, and we got to know each other. I thank God for that. Another good positive thing would be for me to say, yes, dear. Yes, dear. That makes my life very good. And so that might make men, that might make your life very good as well. So we make choices, and the choices we make can have a beneficial, positive effect on our life. So when we think about people in the Bible that have made those decisions, a lot of good decisions have been made, haven't they? The lady with the issue of blood, bleeding, she was dying. She was going to die. And so she heard about Jesus. She knew Jesus was passing by. And she said, oh, if I could just go get a hold of the hem of his garment, I believe that he'll heal me. I believe that he can restore me. I believe he can do something amazing for me in my life. So even though she had already spent all of her money, exhausted all of her income to try to get healthy and sought help from every doctor and physician that was around, and no help came, but she actually continued to get worse. She realized her problem was bigger than just something that medicine was going to cure. She realized her problem was something she needed to take to the master. And here's what she did. She chose to make her life better. She chose to make her life to be of benefit. She chose to go to somebody that could really change her life in a positive and beneficial way. So when she got a hold of Jesus, isn't it beautiful that she kind of got through the crowd? She milled through the crowd. Keep in mind that she was ceremonially unclean. She was not supposed to be out of her house. You know what she was supposed to be? Quarantine. She was supposed to be in quarantine. She was supposed to stay in her house because of this bleeding issue that she had. But she said, no, I'm going to go get a hold of Jesus. I'm not going to worry about what man thinks about me. Now, I'm not trying to get you to break your quarantine or anything like that, but I'm just saying. She knew that in order for her to be healed, she's got to get a hold of Jesus. And she knew Jesus was nearby, so she said, I'm going to him. So she made her way to Jesus, and she got a hold of the hem of his garment, and Jesus stopped as he was walking. He stopped, and he said, somebody touched me. And all the disciples around said, well, sure somebody touched you, Jesus. There's like 100 people around you. Everybody's touched you. He said, no, somebody touched me in faith because I felt virtue, which means power. I felt power. I felt virtue leave my body and go into somebody else. A lot of things to be learned right there. One is that we can touch Jesus. We can connect with Jesus, but it's important that we touch and connect with him by faith. It's one thing to know Jesus in our head. It's another to believe in him and have faith in him from our heart. So she touched him by faith. And what happened to her? She was instantly healed. You know what she did? She stood up when Jesus said, somebody touched me, and I felt virtue leave my body. She stood up. She said, it was me. It was I. She was willing to take whatever punishment she was going to have to take, whatever ridicule she was going to receive. She was willing to take it. Why? Because she knew that there's only one hope for me, and that is Jesus, and I'll take whatever I get. I'm making a choice to go to Jesus and get my healing. Well, Jesus let everybody know that, yeah, she'd been healed because of the power of God. A miracle had happened. Her life was changed and benefited because she chose to take that to Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus, he cried out when he heard Jesus was coming by, and he cried out, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they told him to shut up, calm down. And he cried the louder until Jesus heard him, and he said, bring him to me. And we know that he was healed as well. So there are going to be some choices in our life that are going to be good. There are going to be some changes in our life that are going to be good because of the choices that we make. I hope and pray that you're making good choices. I hope in life you're considering the outcome, that we're just not making random choices, but the choices we're making are considerate of the leadership of God. So choices will make positive change. Also, there's going to be positive change that can take place that is completely out of our control. That's when it's in someone else's control. Isn't it wonderful that when you go out to the mailbox and you open it up, Well, I got that surprise. Look at there. I actually got my check today. I got that money today. Somebody sent me a little card and gave me a gift card to my favorite place I like to go eat. Just small things like that that are completely out of your control. I think it's great that God does that as well. And God knows when to do that. You see, God knows when we're to a point to where we're vulnerable and we're weak spiritually. And God, a lot of times, will bring those positive things into our life and those positive changes in our life that will encourage us and will strengthen us. It's completely out of our control. It's something that God wants to do. God saw His people when they were being delivered from Egypt. And God said, I'm going to deliver my folks. Moses finally went through the 10 plagues. They're heading out. And so as they're on their journey, the path from point A to B, the straight line, would have been through the land of the Philistines. And God said, I'm not going to take them through there because I don't want them to enter into this hostile territory and see war and get afraid and turn and leave and be scared and run back to Egypt. So God knows our hearts and He knows what we're able to take. He knows what we're not able to withstand. So what God did is it was out of their control. God made the choice for them and sent them around a little bit longer path, but it brought blessings to them because they didn't see war for several days. So there are going to be things that are going to happen in our life. They're going to be good changes that are going to bring positivity and be a benefit to us. We like those. Well, on the flip side of the coin, what does that mean? Well, that means there's going to be choices that are going to be made, changes that are going to happen in our life that are going to be bad. Psalm 1:1 says this, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So we also can make those choices that are going to be negative in our life. We can do those things that are not going to be beneficial, but are going to be harmful to us. Again, we go back to my personal life. It would be as if we just had been married a few days, and perhaps my wife had made some biscuits and perhaps burnt the bottom. I'm not saying that happened. I'm just saying, and for me to complain and say the biscuits are terrible, horrible, they're burnt, I can't even eat them, that would be a negative change in my life, because I probably would never get biscuits again. So there are things that we can do in life that can cause these terrible things to come our way, these changes, that they can be caused by the choices that we make. And I thought about people like Lot, who made those choices in his life. When we read the Psalm 1:1, I think that it says, we don't know who the author is to that, but I want to believe that David had some input on that psalm. I want to believe that David, because of the life that David lived, I'm going to get to Lot in just a moment, but David was one of those guys that the Bible says he stayed home when he should have been at war with his guys. And while he stayed home, he was out standing around on the balcony, looking around from his palace and saw Bathsheba bathing on a roof. I know that's not a common thing today. Many of you bathe on your roof. I don't know. But there in that day and time, their roofs were flat. You know what it was? I mean, I'll just explain it for you. This is the simplicity of it. That was their garage. You know all the junk that you have, you don't have a place to put it? In that day, they put it all on top of their house because their roof was flat. A lot of times they had rails on top, so it became their patio, their balcony, their garage, their storage, all of that stuff. And so a lot of times folks would have baths up there and bathe. And so with all the men gone to war and gone to battle, there was no reason for David to be there. So Bathsheba was doing what she did naturally. It wasn't that she was enticing him to see her beauty. But David was home when he should have been gone. David made a choice to stay and say, you guys, you go ahead and you've got it. You don't need me. I'm going to stay home. And the next thing you know, he saw her beauty, inquired of who she was, found out she was married to a guy that was prominent in his army, and still ask her to come over and have dinner. One thing led to another. And we see from this Psalm 1:1 that we just talked about, this progression that's going to happen in these bad decisions that we make. David ended up having an adulterous affair with her. She became pregnant. The child died. David sent a letter and put Uriah, her husband, into the heat of the battle, and he was killed at the command and the word of David. So David ended up being an adulterer, a murderer. And I'm sure David, that day when he came and was standing on his patio and saw her and saw the beauty of Bathsheba, never dreamed he would become such a man. People will say, oh, I would never, ever be careful what you say you're never going to do. Be careful of the things that you say you're strong-willed enough to never let that happen in my life, because what's going to happen is you're going to slowly make choices. If we're not careful, we'll make choices that will have a negative effect on our life. And it'll lead to something else, and it'll lead to something else, and it'll lead to something else. These changes that happen in our lives negatively can a lot of times be caused by the bad choices that we make. All we have to do is get out of fellowship with God for just a little bit, and we're going to start making those bad choices in life. So then we have choices that we make that affect negatively, but also they're just bad things. Sometimes they're going to happen to good people. I know we've preached a lot of messages over the years about that. Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, the basic simple answer is this: because we still live in a sinful world. We're not in heaven yet. We're not in the new heaven and the new earth. We're on a planet that is the domain of Satan, of Lucifer, that was kicked out of heaven. So we're on his turf, and we expect good things to always happen to good people? No. We're the ones that are the enemy here to him. We're alien here, those of us that believe and trust in Christ. We're the pilgrims here. This is his backyard, and we're here, and we expect good things to happen? No, there are going to be plenty of bad things that are going to happen to good people. God even said it's going to rain on the just and the unjust. There's going to be days when we don't desire rain. We're going to get rain. There are going to be days when we would love to have some rain, that we're not going to get rain. So we're living in a sinful world that is engulfed with sin. And he is, according to Scripture, the prince and the power of the air. So there are going to be things that are just going to happen naturally to us because we live in this sinful world and in the society that we're in. So we've looked at changes. They're inevitable. They're going to happen. Then we've looked at what kind of changes can happen. We can have good changes and we can have bad changes. Now let's look at how we need to respond or react to those changes. We got two ways we can go with this. And the first is this: we can defy them, we can resist them, we can fight against every change that comes in our life. 1 Samuel 12 and verse 15 says, "But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers." We can choose, say, here's how I'm going to respond, especially to the changes God wants to make in my life. Here's how I'm going to respond to those. I'm going to fight against them. I'm going to rebel against them. I don't want to do what God's telling me to do. I can go against how God has things set up in my life. I can go against the Holy Spirit as he leads me in that righteous path, because I just don't want to do that. There's a lot of people in the Bible that we see have rebelled against God and disobeyed God because they simply did not want to do what God told them to do. Moses was even reluctant, wasn't he? Moses argued with God. You ever argue with God? Oh my goodness, how dare we argue with God? I think we all do it. I think we all argue with God because we don't want to do what God's telling us that we must do in order to obey him. If I want to please God, I got to do this. We'll fight with God over that. I know God and I, we've had some pretty intense conversations at times. We've discussed some things and we've had some comments. I've said some things that I've had to go back and apologize to him for. Because God's doing everything he can to make our lives right and beneficial, not only to us, but beneficial to the kingdom of God as well. So What do? We can choose to fight against it. We can choose to rebel against it. We can choose to struggle against those things. And what's going to happen when we do that? We're always going to be the one that's miserable. When we start that series of choices where we oppose God and rebel against God and we fight against change, we're always the ones that are going to suffer because of it. So don't choose that path. Here's the path that we need to choose. We need to be constant in the midst of change. Listen to Philippians chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for, and here's what he says, for I have learned that in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And here's how he finishes verse number 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You see, what he's teaching us is the world is full of changes. Every day something changes. Our life changes. It can change gradually or it can be an instant change. There are going to be good changes. There are going to be bad changes. We've got to choose how we're going to respond to those changes, how we're going to be in the midst of those changes. Paul said, I understood what it means to be hungry at times. He's been on the road traveling city to city and been hungry, had nothing to eat for days. There have been times where he's said among people that he's had an abundance of food and he's had more than his want and his fill. He said, I understand the changes in life. What I've chosen to be is to be constant through all those changes. My famous phrase is to be what? Consistently faithful. That's it. God is telling us that in the midst of an ever-changing world, listen, we talk about what's it going to be like when we're actually able to come back together again as a people. Are we ever going to have church again the way we used to have it? I don't know if it's going to be exactly the way it used to be. I got a feeling it's going to be different, but that's okay. It's okay. What we've got to decide is, in the midst of the changes that are going on in life, we've got to choose to be like Paul was and to be constant through all those changes. Can we be? Can you be constant through the changing world? Absolutely you can. So how's that possible? How can I be constant? Here's the answer to how we can be constant through it all. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 6, it says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. How can we make it and endure through the changes in life? Here's how we can be constant. Because God is constant. Good things are going to happen to you. Bad things are going to happen to you. Don't let them change you. Be steadfast in who you are in Jesus Christ. Now, you might be here today and say, but I don't really know who I am in Christ because I don't know Christ. I just tuned in today and I'm watching, I'm listening, I'm understanding the changes part. The good and the bad, but I don't know about this constant thing. Well, then, here's how you can be constant in Jesus Christ, is to trust in Him as Lord and Savior. That's the first positive choice you'll ever make in your entire life. And the greatest one is to ask Jesus in your heart to be your Lord and Savior. If you're here and you're not saved, if you're listening and tuning in and you're not saved, but the Spirit of God is dealing with your heart, then I encourage you today to stop now and ask Jesus to come into your heart today. If the Spirit's bringing conviction, if you know that you need to be saved, if you know that you're undone, you know that your sin has brought you nothing but misery and pain, and you know the wages of sin is death, know this, that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can be saved believing in Jesus Christ. It's not just growing up and understanding the stories and knowing who Jesus is. No, it's deeper than that. It's believing in Jesus, that when he died on that cross, that he didn't just die for the world, but that he died for you so that you could be saved. Today, choose to make that positive effect and that positive change in your life. And when we do that, we can be constant in Jesus Christ. How wonderful is it to know that regardless of the world and the changes that happen within the world, we can be constant because Jesus is constant. I'm glad that I have a Lord that never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Regardless of what happens in my life and in my little world, I can pray to him and say, God, are you there? He's always there. God, do you hear me? I always hear you. God, do you understand my world is in chaos? I always understand. God, can you help me? I can always help you. Seek Jesus today before it's eternally too late. Let's pray together. Our Father, we come to you today. Yes, we know our world, our lives are filled with changes. We know, God, that some we bring on ourselves, some are out of our control, but regardless, change is going to happen. We pray, God, that you would give us the strength and the courage that we'd make positive choices to affect great change in our lives, greatest of all being to trust in you as Lord and Savior. We pray, God, that not only we make right choices for positive change to affect our lives, but that, God, through that, we can be a positive influence on those around us. God, in an ever-changing world, we're thankful that you're constant, and we're thankful that you love us and care for us. Thank you for all those that have joined us today. Pray your blessings on them. We pray, God, that that you will bring about some wonderful positive changes in our lives. In the holy name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray these things. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. Check out rcbc.us for worship times and ministry information. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Psalm 29:11. And from our church family, God bless you.